This morning we will begin worship with a call to worship. The God of new possibilities has come into our world. The God of regeneration gave us a new beginning when we accepted Christ. The God of new opportunities invites us to be a co-worker with Him. The wise men of the East went searching for and found Christ and worshiped Him. When God sent them home by another route, they experienced new opportunities and new possibilities. May we also worship the Christ whom we have found because His grace has found us. Let our hearts be open to the comfort of His love, the joy of His salvation, and the blessedness of worshiping Him. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is He, this King of glory? The Lord God Almighty. He is the King of glory. Let the church say amen. 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 Let the church say amen again. Let the church say amen one more time.
Amen.
Amen and praise the Lord.
Bulletin, you'll notice that it's quite different this morning, so please try to follow along, and we only have about one change, which those who are involved know about. Otherwise, we'll follow the bulletin, and when it's your turn to do something, get right up there and get with it. Second one. Yeah. No, try the first one. Turn the second one on. Yeah. I think we're all ready.
Down.
brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, a night divine. Was born, oh, night divine, oh, night divine. Truly, he taught us to love one another. Love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet of joy, in grateful chorus raise we, that all within us praise his holy name. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice. Was born, oh, night divine, oh, night
got to pretend I'm old enough to be a grandfather. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked,
"Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him."
When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the laws, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, to the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said,
"Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him."
After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Miracle of a song. Like any good mother, when Karen found out that another baby was on the way, she did what she could to help her 3-year-old son, Michael, prepare for a new sibling. They found out that the new baby was going to be a girl, and day after day, night after night, Michael sang to his sister in mommy's tummy. He was building a bond of love with his little sister before he even met her. The pregnancy progressed normally for Karen. In time, the labor pains came. Soon it was every 5 minutes, every 3, every minute. But serious complications arose during delivery, and Karen found herself in hours of labor. Would a C-section be required? Finally, after a long struggle, Michael's little sister was born, but she was in very serious condition. With a siren howling in the night, the ambulance rushed the infant to the neonatal intensive care unit at St. Mary's Hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee. The days inched by. The little girl got worse. The pediatrician had to tell the parents there was very little hope to be prepared for the worst. Karen and her husband contacted a local cemetery about a burial plot. They had fixed up a special room in their house for their new baby, but now they found themselves having to plan for a funeral. Michael, however, kept begging his parents to let him see his sister. "I want to sing to her," he kept saying. Week two in intensive care looked as if a funeral would come before the week was over. Michael kept nagging about singing to his sister, but kids are never allowed in intensive care. Karen decided to take Michael whether they liked it or not. If he didn't see his sister right now, he might never see her alive. They dressed him in an oversized scrub suit and marched him into ICU. He looked like a walking laundry basket. The head nurse recognized him as a child and bellowed, "Get that kid out of here now. No children are allowed." The mother rose up strong in Karen, and the usually mild-mannered lady glared steel-eyed right into the head nurse's face, her lips a firm line. "He is not leaving until he sings to his sister," she stated. Then Karen towed Michael to his sister's bedside. He gazed at the tiny infant losing the battle to live. After a moment, he began to sing. In the pure-hearted voice of a three-year-old, Michael sang, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray." Instantly, the baby girl seemed to respond. The pulse rate began to calm down and become steady. "Keep on singing, Michael," encouraged Karen with tears in her eyes. "You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away." As Michael sang to his sister, the baby's ragged, strained breathing became as smooth as a kitten's purr. "Keep on singing, sweetheart. The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms." Michael's little sister began to relax as rest, healing rest, seemed to sweep over her. "Keep on singing, Michael." Tears had now conquered the face of the bossy head nurse. "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Please don't take my sunshine away." The next day, the very next day, the little girl was well enough to go home. Woman's Day magazine called it the miracle of a brother's song. The medical staff just called it a miracle. Karen called it a miracle of God's love.
Oh, from God's heaven to a manger, from great riches to the poor, came the Son of God to seek and save. From the azure halls of heaven to a rough and rugged cross, Jesus came, and here is life for all he gave. Redeeming love, love. shall sing throughout the endless ages, with choirs extolling this great love on high. From a loving heavenly Father, my soul with his own blood, gave to me a peace this world could not afford. Redeeming love, a love that knows no limit. Redeeming love, a love that shall not die. Shall sing throughout the endless ages, with choirs extolling this great love on
celebrating Christmas, we sometimes forget that the purpose of his coming pointed to the cross. Clear back in the Old Testament, we read, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth who shall be ruler in Israel." And now it was time. Galatians 4 says, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." And one night in the hills of Judea, little town of Bethlehem, God kept his promise. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And when Jesus was about 30 years of age, he began his short ministry. Only 3.5 years. 3.5 years. To fulfill all that God had called him to do, all that God had intended, all that was prophesied throughout the whole Old Testament. And John the Baptist comes on the scene, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, chosen to be the forerunner of God's messenger. And he comes to the Jordan River and cries, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And then Jesus, throughout his ministry, points to the cross. In John 3, he tells Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." In John 12, he puts it more clearly even than that. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Throughout his ministry, he repeatedly said, "My hour has not yet come." But finally it did come. And he declares before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He took his disciples to an upper room of a house in Jerusalem and celebrated their last Passover together. God was about to fulfill the purpose of Jesus' journey to earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Part of our learning to be godly is learning to give. We don't give because God needs money. We give because we need to learn to be godly, to be good stewards, to exhibit godly generosity. So we take the offering this morning. Remember, it is because of our love for him, because of his grace and generosity to us, we return some of what he has blessed us with for his service. Father, thank you. Thank you for the eternal plan of salvation. From the very beginning, with the coats of skins, you established the principle of the shedding of blood. And through the entire system of offerings, right down to the putting of the Lord Jesus on the cross, his willingness to go to be made sin for us. Father, we come to give back, to give not only materially, but to give of our heart and our soul and our mind. We thank you in his name.
Thank you. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone, came for sinners to atone. Though rejected by his own, he
As they began their Passover celebration, Jesus said, "With great desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." And out of a typical Jewish Passover came what we call the Lord's Table, or communion. During the supper, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And then Judas left, and Jesus took the bread, saying in Luke 22:19, And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In this picture, we have the gospel. The crucifixion and resurrection is the gospel. Paul later declared, This is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the ultimate purpose of Christmas. He was made of woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law. Jesus said, A body thou hast prepared me. Why? Because he bore our sins in his body on the tree. But there's another truth about the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The fact becomes the basis for much New Testament teaching, the unity of the body, the diversity of gifts, the care of the body. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Jesus said, Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When Jesus laid his life down, it was to bear our sins and pay for our salvation. But this is also an example to us, 1 John 3:16. This is how we understand love, because he laid down his life for us. We should lay down our lives for the brethren. And now as we greet one another, remember that partaking of the bread that pictures the body of Christ also pictures our commitment to one another within the body of Christ. So don't just greet one another this morning. Let us encourage and celebrate the body of Christ.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This cup is the New Testament in my blood. From the very beginning, God established the principle of the blood sacrifice. Adam and Eve's fig leaves were man's attempt to cover himself, but God made coats of skins because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now all the instruction and sacrifices of the Old Testament would be fulfilled. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And in 2 Corinthians 11:25 it says, Jesus says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Salvation was provided in this sacrifice. Ephesians 1 through 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:20, having made peace by the blood of his cross, by him he will reconcile all things to himself. So today it is the blood of Christ that God looks at for the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So in the eyes of God, it is the blood of Christ that speaks for us today.
It will never lose its it will never lose its
Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me, because as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes." John 14, 1 through 6 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus repeated that promise to John on the Isle of Patmos some 60 years later, when he said, "Surely I come quickly." And we echo John's response, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus."
Even so, Lord Jesus, come. My heart doth long for thee. Though I failed and betrayed thy trust, even so, Lord Jesus, come.
From Christmas to the cross. Christmas points directly to the cross because for God so loved, he gave. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." But he also issues a solemn warning. "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." It's never God's fault when people reject his gracious offer of salvation. John says that God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, gave him a human body for the purpose of the cross, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did it for you. Christmas is for you. But don't miss the reality of what God really intended in the whole process by a gurgling baby in a manger, or the horrific crucifixion of the cross. It really all comes down to he shed his blood, gave his body, bore our sin in his body on the tree. And in that you have the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scripture. He did it because he wanted to offer to you a complete, full salvation. He did it motivated by an all-encompassing love for you. And he gives it freely to all who believe. And this morning, I trust you do not leave here without accepting his gracious gift. From Christmas to the cross, he gave an indescribable gift, the scripture says. But in that process, he points to the cross where he supplied an indescribable forgiveness for our sin. Thank you, Father, for your love and your care for us. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate what you have done, both in the beginning of Christ's ministry in a manger, and the end of his earthly ministry here on the cross. He did it for us. And Father, we would respond with appreciation and accepting. For as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we pray in his name. Amen.